أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العظيم. The surah is known and famously known as Surah Al-Ikhlas. It is also known as Surah Tawheed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His unity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His oneness, and the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His unity and His oneness in this surah is not found in any other portion of the Qur'an Kareem. The relationship between this surah and the surah before this, Surah Lahab, we find that in Surah Lahab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with those people who became an obstacle to the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Lahab was an enemy of the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with him in the most appropriate of manners that befitted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah also left him as an example for the whole of mankind. Should anybody decide to become an impediment and a barrier to the deen of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows these are the ways that we can deal with them. Allah save us that we don't ever become a barrier for anyone else to accept the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now makes the declaration of the oneness of Allah. If you want to look at it in another way, is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with His enemies, then the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become dominant. In Surah Kafirun, we explained that there we are negating all partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we saying that we'll only worship one Allah, and here we now establish the oneness and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also some ulama have said, let's look a little further, that now the Qur'an Kareem comes to an end, and this is the final declaration of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah makes in the surah. Now with regards to the fazail and the virtues of the surah, we discussed some of them with Surah Al-Kafirun. Just one or two more virtues that we will discuss. We find in the hadith, there was an expedition that Nabi alayhi salatu was salam had sent out. And then when that expedition had returned, then Nabi alayhi salatu was salam would normally ask those that were in the groups to come forth and to give some report of what had happened. So among these reports, there was one report of one person that was performing the salat for the people. He was the imam. And this was, and the meaning of the hadith actually is that in every rakat, in every salat, in the second rakat, this person would read Surah Ikhlas, he would read Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. So this was also brought forth to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the people to inquire from this qari, from this imam, that why did he read Surah Ikhlas in every salat in the second rakat? In other words, like for example in Fajr, in Maghrib, in Isha, etc. So he said to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because I have got a love for the surah. My love is very profound for the surah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then made the declaration that understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person that loves the Surah Ikhlas. The reality is this, that we all read Surah Ikhlas. But we should be asking ourselves whether we read it with Ikhlas or not. Or it is just because we want to expedite the Salat. Wal asri inna atayna kul huwa Allah. Or whether we're doing it for the love of the Surah. Then there is another narration that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to one person, that the love, your love that you have for Surah Ikhlas will grant you entry into Jannah. So that is an important aspect, and this is why we go into these surahs, to understand why and what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept so much of virtue. Just one more. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam once gathered the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited upon them Surah Ikhlas, and then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this surah is one third of the Qur'an Kareem, in other words, by way of the reward. Now there is another way of also looking at the one third, that there are three primary subject matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses in the Quran. One is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Secondly, the nubuwwat and prophethood, of our Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that also includes the informations of all the other anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. And third, the primary discussion of the Quran, the principal discussion of the Quran, is akhirat, the hereafter. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of one of the three, so that becomes also one third. But that doesn't mean now that we don't read our Taraweeh Salat behind the Imam, and then we read three times Qulhu Allah and we say we got the reward of the full Quran. That is a different matter and a different subject altogether, a different discussion. But this three Qulhu Allah will never, insofar as the reward, cumulative reward of reciting the whole Quran, this will not make up that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, O Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one. Now, as far as the reason for the revelation of the surah is concerned, there were those people that began to ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Allah? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made of? What is the lineage of Allah? Where has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come from? Because they obviously could not understand this concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they worship idols, they worship stones, they worship wood, they worship things of this world. So how and what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made of? I mean, if our God is made out of stone, then perhaps your God has to be made of gold or something like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the surah in response to these type of questions and curiosities that the people had. They say, O Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and again we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here once again makes the declaration of the nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is commanded to deliver this message of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. I personally like the translation of Allah is alone, because after one you get two, but alone will always remain alone forever and ever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone in every aspect. Insofar as Allah's zat is concerned, Allah's being is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Insofar as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat is concerned, Allah's attributive qualities is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique. There is no one that can have the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the manner and the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it. There is another aspect with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll try and simplify it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what the ulama have termed as wajibul wujud. In that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence is compelling, it is compulsory. Your existence and my existence is absolutely, we are non-entities. Whether yesterday we were not here in this world, it didn't make a difference to this universe, and tomorrow we'll all be gone. And it doesn't make a difference, the sun will still rise at the same time, it will still set at the same time. So in comparison, we are no comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him, laysa kamithlihi shay. There is no example, there is nothing that is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect and in every respect of the word of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot draw any comparisons. That is why, just by the way also, that unless we have to, then we will refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as God. Because God, it has got a plural, many gods. And Allah, there is no plural. God has a diminutive, godling. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no diminutive, it doesn't have any smaller. God has a feminine, goddess. And Allah doesn't have a feminine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one in every aspect and in every respect of the word. Allahu samad. Allah is independent. Now here when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent, it doesn't mean that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is independent and that's the end of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-samad in this aspect, that not only is Allah independent of the ummah or independent of his creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that everyone is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That completes in actual fact the meaning of as-samad. Allah is independent, and at the same time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that everyone and everything is dependent on Allah Rabbul Izzat for their existence and for their sustenance. So that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we say that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is as-samad. Thereafter, lam yalid wa lam yulad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not begotten anyone. In other words, Allah had not given birth to anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any offspring, like how the Yahud and the Nasara, that the Yahud said that Hazrat Uzair alayhi salam is the son of Allah. The Nasara said that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah. So we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not beget anyone. And also the kuffar of Makkah, they said the malaika are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of all that. And that again is another discussion, that to beget and to give birth, there is dependence in that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally independent. وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, and nor was Allah begotten from anyone. So those that ask this question to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that what is the lineage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah ta'ala come from, وَنَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ, then that is also seen to and taken care in the surah. Thereafter Allah says, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ, and there is no one that is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, in every aspect and in every respect of it, in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, in the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains, in the way that Allah has given order to everything in this universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is matchless. There is no one that can match Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this very short surah has a lot of meaning in it, insofar as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat is concerned, the qualities of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bring that oneness in our hearts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that pure unity of Allah Rabbul Izzat, and that pure iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.